In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, we pray. Church of God, elect and holy, be the people he intends, strong in faith and swift to answer each command your master sends. Royal priests, fulfill your calling through your sacrifice and prayer. Give your lives in joyful service. Sing his praise, his love, declare. In the name of Jesus, amen. I only have 10 minutes. Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's interesting, as we hear of this passage, as just read a few minutes ago, we hear about the vine and the branches, but we also hear these words from our Lord. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That sounds like a pretty good deal, isn't it? You know, if we make a deal with Jesus and we do what his word says as much as possible, he'll answer anything we ask in prayer. When we come to our Lord, I want that car, that really nice car, or I want this, or I want that. And maybe if we pray hard enough, we close our eyes and squint and pray with all sincerity, God will answer all our prayers and everything that which we ask and do. All those little things we want in life. So he says, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It makes me want to become a Christian. It makes me to have a little sense of power, a little sense of gravity in my own prayer. It's interesting sometimes the way we view such passages. That is the aspect of prayer. When we sit down at the table in the cafeteria, we sit down and pray. We give thanks for the food. We give thanks for our daily bread in which God provides us to support this body and life. But in many ways, because of our own very nature, we're so engrossed with this life, we forget about the greater picture that is set before us. That is that life that extends itself to heaven above, the bread of life. For the food we are about to receive upon this table only sustain our life for a short moment. The food, as if we have enough food to feed the entire world, all those are hungry, they will still yet die. In some way, this life is inadequate. In some way, this life will not support the true life in which God has intended for us, that life in which God has given us so graciously from heaven above. That is daily, the daily bread from heaven. That is in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. To support this life and now, or to support the life now and forever, as we see before us God's sustaining love for us. Or as the hymn prays within the hymnal, feed your children, God most holy, comfort sinners poor and lowly. You are bread of life from heaven, bless the food you are here have given. As these gifts the body nourish, may our souls in grace flourish, till with saints in heaven's splendor, at your feast our thanks we render. We find, dear Christians, that it is not because of our prayer. Our prayer has its end and its own fulfillment in the life which has been given to us from heaven above, that is in our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That when we pray for somebody who's sick in the hospital, if they will end up dying, and we pray for health, we know that there's health that has been given in Christ Jesus. That in the face of sickness, we already have been given us health. In the face of sin, our hatred, our troubles, our shortcomings, he has overcome all that is in Christ Jesus. Our prayers are satisfied and fulfilled, not simply as the old answer in God's own time and in God's own way that becomes old. It is already fulfilled for us, yet even before our own prayer, that is in Jesus Christ himself. I recall sometimes when I'm out in the streets, I have a lot of people confront me for some odd reason. I don't know, I have something on the top of my head here. And they come and they ask me different questions and whatnot. And one gentleman came up to me and he says, "Well, I like to pray at home. I don't need to go to church. I just like to go and talk to God through prayer." And I said, "You know, that is very fine and well to talk to God in prayer. But come to church and hear the answer to your prayers. Hear the answer to all those questions in which you have asked God. For the secret of all prayers is simply to know God. To know God and his love and his sustaining power through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the forgiveness of sins. It is to see and to understand life not from below, not from our miserable circumstances in life, our shortcomings, etc., etc., not because of our gross sins in which we bear, but from above, namely from God through his Son, Jesus Christ, where Jesus can say, 'This is eternal life, that we may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.'" It is just as we read in Asaph in Psalm 77, as Asaph goes and cries out to God. He cries out to God because he bears some sense of anxiety, some sense of frustration. His hands are lifted up, that is, in prayer unceasingly throughout the whole night. And it is God. He says that God keeps his eyelids open. He says, "Isn't God hearing me? Isn't he answering my prayers? Isn't he listening to me?" And so he continues on. He says, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" And he says, "This is my anxiety," or "This is my anguish." But you see, the psalmist, as you pray the psalms, I pray the whole psalter each month. When I rise up in the morning and before I go to bed, I pray so many psalms. The secret of the psalmist is that though they may wrestle from below, though they may wrestle with the circumstances of life, they find their comfort, their strength, not from below, but from above, that namely in God. As Asaph continues on, as he says, "But I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk to your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? O God, who is in the sanctuary." Earlier in Psalm 73, Asaph cries out once again. He says, "Look at all those pagans out there. Look at how God has blessed all these pagans with a luxurious life. They seem to have a peace of mind. And he's left us Christians over here, you know, in poverty and with our struggles. Well, isn't this a life of peace for us Christians? Don't we wish for each other peace be with you in this sense?" And this is the mentality of Asaph at the beginning of his psalm. But then he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary, then I knew their end." That is, life is defined not from below, but from God. It is God through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that is the defining factor of what life is all about, that we may not only know life now, but for life for all eternity. It is there with God that we know what it is all about. The same thing with Psalm 46 with the sons of Korah. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, the very help in every trouble, and I will not fear." But he continues on. He says, "Be still, silence yourself, be still before God, that you may know him." The psalmist knows the richness that is of life as he continues on and says, "There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." That stream that flows from God's most rich divine service, that gives us the umbilical cord of life from heaven above, that flows as a river from the sanctuary of God. It is there in which our prayers, our cry for help, has its fulfillment, namely in Christ Jesus. It is kind of like the movie, The Christ Academy. I just saw the movie, The Matrix. And I'm still trying to tell them that that wasn't true, the movie itself. But The Matrix. And the idea of the fact that the two pills in which was given to Neo, that's his name, right? To Neo, is that right? Yeah, Neo. Gives the pills to Neo. He gave it to him where he may come to realize what the reality is all about. That the Matrix itself belonged to the world, but there was a greater and clearer picture of what it is all about. That is, from another viewpoint, from another vantage point. Ours is that of God. Ours is that of God. That is why, in matters of persecutions, we are able, as the psalmist says, walk through the shadows of this life to see the greater life and light that comes from heaven above, namely in Christ Jesus. Where Job can make such an absurd confession, as he says, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It is generally believed that the passage today, by most commentators and theologians, happen as after that is of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He speaks of vine and the branches. Soon after our Lord has given his body, his flesh and blood in the Holy Sacrament. It is there, dear Christians, that flows the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is where we have that life from heaven above. Come to church. Hear the fulfillment of all in all where Christ says it is finished. That even before all prayers and requests of God, you have been redeemed. Your health has been restored. You are atoned. You are united with God in communion with Him in the life in which God has richly prepared for you now and forevermore. The body and blood of our Lord is the fulfillment of our prayers and confessions, of our hopes and of our dreams. As our Lord says today within today's passage, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And that is why, dear Christians, as we will witness with our own very eyes the mysteries of our Christian faith, as the baptized gather, as the pastor before us lifts up the chalice and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." It is not a peace, dear Christians, that involves itself within this life in which we bear the sins and the shortcomings, but is the peace which is there in and with and under that very bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we can only do tomorrow, all we can do is answer, "Amen, let it be so," for it is that peace that surpasses all understanding. It is there in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we hear the words of the blood of the New Testament, that anything that pertains to the Holy Scriptures, that is of the Testament, is found in the very blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may unite in love with one body and one baptism, one faith, one confession of prayer, praise, and giving thanks of that life which has been given to us by the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Prayer, dear Christians, is nothing but confession. Confession of our faith. It is nothing but the second commandment of prayer, praise, and giving thanks to that in which we have received through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That as you grow up, as you make your mistakes, as you fall short of all in which God expects of you, we can bow our heads in prayer and confession, for knowing the mercy that has first come to us by the words from heaven above, that we may confess God as the life giver of all. This is the uniqueness of our faith and our life, dear Christians, that we confess that back that which we have first received in Christ Jesus, that is, in our prayers. Today we celebrate the day of the celebration of the Augsburg Confession. We hear of those who join within our prayers with the angels and archangels of all the company of heaven, those who have confessed the faith, women, children, small children, and children of children who have died for the faith and life in which you confessed here today. It is the life of the greater life in the face of our own suffering, that we may rejoice in the life which has been given to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.